You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
Retard.
You say funny thing.
What's up, guys? We're here with Jacqueline Allen, farmer's market extraordinaire and entrepreneur. How's it going, Jacqueline?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm all right.
I was worried it was going to be hot, but it's not too bad down here.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, we're appreciating it.
Doing a nighttime episode.
Nice.
Yeah. You think it's nice?
Yeah, it's
that's
nice.
The second guest.
You said you were scared when we first walked down here.
I'm comfortable now.
Well, that's because I mentioned men with masks in the corner.
Yeah.
And then there weren't any.
There weren't any.
No.
So how long have you been doing the farmer's market game? What's going on? What's your history with that?
Locally, 5 years plus, and just in general, just under 10.
Are you not from Bakersfield?
I grew up in Hanford, and then I moved here in 96 for college.
All I remember is I used to visit my friend in Hanford, and the water smells like rotten eggs.
I don't think it does anymore.
No, it used to, though.
The sulfur was pretty rough.
My family there, I have two cousins that are sheriffs there.
Out in Hanford?
In Hanford. Hanford and what's the other one? Lemoore?
Lemoore.
Yeah.
So did you do any farmer's market kind of stuff growing up, or did you just
I grew up 4-H, FFA. I mean, all these little things that we do at farmer's market were normal day living.
Right. So here in Bakersfield, what farmer's markets are you in charge of? Give us a big plug. What are the farmer's markets? Where and when are they, so that the listeners know that first?
So Saturdays we're at Brimhall 9 to 1. We boast that's your first pick. It comes straight off the trees and it's there. I mean, as fresh as you'll get any fruit in town.
Right.
Sunday we head to Kaiser and it's a lot larger, but it's just different. It's a lot more work, but there's so much going on community wise that it's a trip. And then now we do Thursday at North High School, and that's a charity market that we operate under a nonprofit called Apple Core Project.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three that are currently operating.
And then you had mentioned before we went on that a little bit more about the nonprofit part. So how does all that work with the Thursday Oildale market?
When we started the farmers market at Brimhall, a lot of us wanted to kind of just give back to the community. So we started feeding people Christmas Eve morning at Central Park.
Cool.
And we have kind of a cool forum every weekend. Like, we have an event every single weekend, no matter what. And a lot of people will make donations with blankets and canned food, hygiene items, like just they want to give. So then we would collect it and then we would distribute it with a locally cooked meal. I mean, top notch meal every Christmas morning. And we just started doing the paperwork it's a lot of paperwork.
I bet.
But
it's making me hungry.
Through connections and just doing good things with fellow community members, like we were able to get our 501(c)(3) status. We're a nonprofit organization, and now we operate that market. And any proceeds at the end of the night go right back in to the nonprofit.
So, that's really cool. So you're not just a farmers market business, you guys are actually giving back to the community.
It's crazy to think how many jobs and things have actually come from the farmers market, but we're a large group of people that believe in putting our money into each other before we put it other places. And that's how we kind of fit in with like a lot of the downtown businesses, because they're small business owners and they kind of have the same mentality.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
What is the actual name of your organization as far as the farmers market? Like, what do you operate under?
My business name is The Hen's Roost, our umbrella.
Okay.
And then with the farmers markets, Saturday and Sunday are under that. And then Thursday used to be under Hen's Roost, but we gave it up to the nonprofit because we saw an opportunity to feed people with it.
That's awesome. I don't want to fill out the paperwork at the doctor's office. Like, I'm like, man, I gave this to you like a month ago. My phone number didn't change. And like, I'm it's always kudos to like everyone that goes the extra mile, like for you to get through all that.
It was a lot of,
how long was the process for that?
It was like 2 years.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, we, it just was had down the guy, to the wire, like literally down to the wire. And it's always like that though. Don't, no matter how much you prep and prep and prep, like that's just the life I live, is like down to the wire.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that.
And actually, Savage Radio KSVG that this will be airing on, the listeners out there will be able to hear, you know, your story and maybe get out to the farmer's market here locally. Their process was like 9 years for the paperwork. So, and that's something we talked about. It was, you know, a lot of people take things for granted and don't understand, you know, when you put some work into something, you just keep working at it and then it becomes what you want. You know, it's your baby. So, you know, those, you know, like Brent said, kudos to everybody who's done that and who's created something and kept at it and didn't quit. Because, you know, a lot of people start something, you know, if it doesn't happen in a month, they're like, no, we're done with it, you know.
I think that's the key component that a lot of people, when they say, well, Bakersfield's still like a small town.
Yeah.
It's because there's a group of people that still have a small amount, like small town mentality going on. And they believe in doing for each other, because that's the only way it's going to come back to you is if you give.
Right.
You know? So it works for some of us. It works.
One thing that I think is really cool is that I know that in order to sell, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably am, in order to sell any cooked food, it has to be done at like a fully certified sort of a restaurant facility.
Commissary, right?
There's a couple of exceptions with the newly instated cottage law, where there's some items that people can make at home. There's certain ingredients that aren't allowed, but so that they can make money, basically.
Right. You can have your kitchen certified, right? The health department can come out and certify it.
It's a tricky deal.
But then you guys run a kitchen, right?
I have a processed food facility. So, like, I have a food label.
Right.
I can make things, but other people can't come in there and make things. Okay. And those are all things that we're, like, learning right now as we go with the health department. It's kind of a trip because Bakersfield, unfortunately, is behind on some things. And we'll get there.
Yeah, it's, they're always going to be behind. I think it's just the way it's going to be. But
it's tough. I ran that taco shop and like the health department. It's like I just had questions. I just want to know. Like I showed up and like they won't answer your questions. They're like, well, here, download this 180 page PDF online and read it. And I'm like, I know. I read that. I don't. It's not answering my question. I'm asking you a specific question. Can you just tell me, am I allowed to do this? I'm trying to do the right thing. It's difficult.
You know, I try to always be nice because I can't imagine being in their shoes. They're in charge of big county, and they have to check every pool, every restaurant, every taco truck, every farmer's market.
Tattoo parlors, too. I didn't realize that was part of that. Yeah.
Hotels,
yeah, it's health. Yeah.
And there's only like four inspectors. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I mean,
imagine they got to go to Boron. They got to go to Delano, McFarland. County. It's... Yeah.
Early Mart, everything.
Well, they told me my original taco thing was always after hours. And they were like, man, like what happened was we're selling it First Friday. And then someone said, is that legit? And they flagged us, which we were doing everything to code as far as a truck was concerned. We were prepping it in another facility, but we were basically catering it out of a building. And then when I went and talked to them, I was like way more on the map. If I had just been quiet and cooked after five, they literally said they don't have the manpower.
Because they Facebook stock. And if you're popular, you're done.
Oh,
like,
really?
You better be doing your stuff right, buddy. So
are you guys staying off Facebook or what?
You know what? No, because I try to do things right because I don't want to be worried and I don't want to kill anybody, you know? Right. And I don't want anyone else to kill anybody.
Yeah. Besides the laws, you don't want to kill anybody.
Yeah, I've had my problems at the health department, but at the same time, like, they're just doing the job. And honestly, I think you do get targeted because they do Facebook stalk, and I'm not afraid to say that to them.
I know I had a friend that owned a restaurant. They'll nitpick, and if you get on the wrong thing with them, they're not gonna be nice. He got in trouble for having his sanitizing strips not close enough to the 3-compartment sink. It was like 2 feet further than it should be. And he's like, no, they're right there. And he's like,
we should stop talking about the health department.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we only have 4 fans, and I think those are the 4 that are on Facebook.
I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love you.
So They're great, though. They are great. They're awesome. I feel for them.
They stop people from having peanut allergies in places.
You know what? There's so many components to the health department that most people have no clue. Like, public health is entirely different than enviro health. And I sit in a lot of meetings with those people, and they are truly trying to make where we live a better place.
Right.
And it's just far from it. You know, we have a lot of work to do.
Well, you have to draw a line, or people will just do crazy stuff. You know what I mean? People,
it is.
Yeah, people don't have any standard for cleanliness or health if you don't make rules. They won't.
Well, how long have you been throwing computer parts in the Kern River?
It's been years now. There's actually what we call the Kern Reef, and it's made out of motherboards and RAM, and it's full of catfish.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's called chumming.
Yeah, chumming. We're actually trying to preserve it now. It's and become a
you're
sanctuary.
You're going to sell the catfish at the farmer's market.
No, we do e-recycle, so I have to deal with that. So what all do you guys make at the Hen Roost? Is it just the peanut butter?
No. We do...
When you say just the peanut butter, you didn't mention that they do sell peanut
butter. Yes, we do peanut butter.
And I do want to pause the conversation because this is something I mentioned on the last podcast as well. This is a... thing to mention for all future guests that we're going to have. Our last guest was Ricky Bird with Hectic Films, and he brought us all comic books and posters, and it was awesome.
Yes, and stickers.
Our current guest brought us all a jar of like amazing homemade peanut butter, and it's awesome.
And it is awesome. Like, it's a problem for me. I'll get into it in a minute.
So I'm just saying
you're going to gain 8 pounds.
Whoever, if you're listening right now and at some point in the future you are a guest, I'm just strongly suggesting you bring us a gift because it's awesome.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan. I want some like a headband or something.
I'll bring you Rogaine and a headband.
That was my whorish attempt to get free swag. Yeah. So now let's go in.
Wait, be careful what you ask for.
That's right. Dave's happy because people are bringing us stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to get like a Craigslist tranny coming in here once. Lord.
So you make peanut butter there, and then what else?
We try to just have like a no waste mentality. So a couple of weeks ago at Oildale, it was a bust, and I'm a softy. So I bought like a grip of vegetables from the vegetable guy and made up a bunch of salads the next day and pimped them out at the farmer's market. I mean,
oh, nice.
We know how to cook. I eat well. I've been eating well for a minute. And I mean, farmer's market is the best food in the world. Like, it's local.
It's all fresh,
it doesn't have any of the junk that other food does. It's fresh off the tree. You can trade peanut butter for it.
Yeah.
So we just try to put good food out and do what we can when we can to have as little waste as possible.
So I've got a peanut butter problem, like literally a peanut butter problem, like a 2 a.m. in my underwear, wander into the kitchen with a tablespoon and just eat it out of the jar. And I went to the farmer's market and I was like, I'm like a connoisseur of peanut butter, but there's only so much you can do at like Lassen's, Trader Joe's, Vaughn's. Like I've worn it out. And I was stoked to see that there was peanut butter there. And then they had cashew peanut butter. It's called Catch 22.
Cashew?
We do, yeah. We cashew do some variations butter. Of different nut butters.
You did almond peanut butter.
We do an almond PB, a cashew PB, a straight cashew now.
Kung Pao, right?
We do a Kung Pao. We exhausted our local pepper grower of all his Dorset Naga chili powder. So we've moved up to the Ghost, which is now the Ghost Butter.
Is it hotter?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'll say right now, I ran out of the cashew butter like day one. Like,
but we just exhausted him too. Like, she, we're out.
She
like,
started sweating as soon as she said ghost peanut butter.
Well, I made it, how hot it is. Like with just not making a sandwich, with a spoon, I ate that jar in a day and a half. Then I moved on to the regular peanut butter and I was like staying away from the Kung Pao. That one I still have because it's like spicy peanut butter. It keeps me in check. I can't go buck wild. I can eat like a spoon of it.
And you don't want to anyways. No.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, I might have some side effects if I eat this whole jar of Kung Pao peanut butter. But it is amazing and you have to try it. It's awesome.
It's great as cookies as well. Spicy peanut butter cookies. A little scoop of ice cream.
I don't know if I'd be into that. I'd have to try it. I really would.
It's fine,
I'm super picky about food. So
that's what I was saying earlier.
Yeah. But The almond peanut butter sounds delicious. Like I'm gonna get into that.
I am allergic to almonds as of like a year ago.
I'm gonna send pictures to you at night, like at like 1 a.m. Brent, of me in my underwear eating the almond peanut butter?
Well, awesome. the only thing that's changing is that you're holding peanut butter. You always send me those pictures.
Those are called butter buddies.
Yeah.
Butter
buddies. And then we'll post them on Instagram, but I will cover my nipples with peanut butter.
Hashtag butter buddies.
So I don't you just made something up. That's awesome.
The creepy thing is you're going to look at the picture on closer inspection and realize that he was in your bed and you were actually sleeping.
That's my kitchen.
I'm next to you sitting on your wife's head. Just like perching.
That's still radio. Yeah, still say that on the radio. Yeah.
No, I was going to say you're lucky that this is going on the radio. I wish it was a non-radio version because
you get so many jokes.
Man, you're talking about a peanut butter problem.
Yeah.
I was going to ask some serious in-depth questions about what you do and where you put the peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
And then if your dog comes into play. But
my dog loves peanut butter.
We do make a line of puppy butters.
Oh, really?
It's actually, well, we haven't came up with a name because technically it would be called lung butter. Which is like,
so
yeah, you don't want to do
that. It's organic buffalo lungs that are dried,
and we this is for dogs.
Yeah, they sell it at the dog stand, like where the holistic treats, and it's like they stink, but the dogs like them like crack.
Dogs just have peanut butter?
So we take the lungs and we grind them up, and then we mix it in the peanut butter, the natural, and. It doesn't make your dog's breath stink. You put it in the Kong. They sit there and they're like, it's actually,
That's pretty cool.
It's actually really cool. Ugh. It just doesn't have a good name yet.
Dog nip.
Why, not just buffalo butter?
That sounds weird. Yeah. No, that sounds kind of gross and something we shouldn't talk about on the radio.
I think I'm going to get some of that and feed it to some people I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make a PB&J.
Hey, you guys want some peanut butter?
It's safe for human consumption. Yeah. That's the sucky part.
Here, I made you guys some sandwiches.
So that's one great thing, too, though, on your guys' peanut butter. Like, normally when I'm going to the store, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. And you can buy the natural one, but it's not the same, man. I mean, you guys just straight put that through a grinder. And the ingredients, right? That's it.
Yeah, we use pink Himalayan sea salt that we get from San Francisco Salt Company. It's certificated salt. It's good for you.
It's like applewood smoked pink Himalayan.
Okay, so Dr. Angel, Heavenly Heat is the name of the stand. I crush on this stand because he grows peppers. He makes pepper powder. He makes smoked salts. It's like a precise science what he does with this stuff. It's ridiculous. Right. And... He just, the stuff is amazing. So the Kung Pao, the Ghost, those are his chili pepper powders. The Applewood smoked salt and the Catch 22 he makes. There's a cricket.
You got a cricket trying to chase him down.
Anyways, so that's just an example of we try to partner with each other and promote and cross promote and keep it in house as much as possible.
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah. He just smoked some honey from Tinny Family Bees, which is the most local honey you can get here.
You smoke honey?
I think I had some of that, and my girlfriend broke out
through
when she ate it. Because honey is supposed to help you with your allergies.
Mm-hmm. Local honey.
Oh, right.
And
right.
My girlfriend, she broke out like in hives after she ate it.
She might be allergic.
Yeah. So she stopped eating it, but it was good though. You guys don't hear that? That's why it's driving me crazy.
I can hear it, but I don't think
it's like
hear it
a cricket or something in the roof.
Jiminy.
Maybe. That was driving me nuts.
He's all excited about the peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh man, almonds. Like I love almonds. I just would eat the crap out of almonds constantly. And then one day, I threw back some wasabi almonds that my buddy had brought to the shop. And all of a sudden, I was like, man, my hands kind of itch. The palms of my hands are itching. This is weird. And then all of a sudden, inside my ear, like beyond Q-tip status, like I wanted to like get something and like shove it in my ear. Like, I couldn't get to it.
What's that movie with Will Smith where his ears get all fat? And,
Hitch.
Hitch. He's allergic to shellfish.
I didn't swell up at all. It was just it was horrible, the itch inside of my head. So I took Benadryl and, like, fought through the rest of the day at work and, like, made it pass. And I thought, it must be some wasabi powder or something. It's not the almonds. I eat almonds all the time.
Yeah.
Well, then the next day, as a test, I ate two of those almonds just to see. And I was like, well, that was a dumb test. It still could be the wasabi. And of course, my hands itched, my ears itched, took Benadryl, fought through the day. Then like a couple weeks went by, I just avoided it. And I forgot. And I went to the coffee shop across the street, Dagny's, name drop. And then I bought some mixed nuts. Some of those nuts are almonds. I ate it. And then all of a sudden, I was itching. And they had nothing to do with wasabi.
You're lucky you didn't
die. Yeah, I know. It's not anaphylaxis or anything. But I hear once you're allergic to it, you should just avoid it.
Yes.
Because it steps up all by itself, just like it did from zero to itchy.
So if we start making a bunch of money, Dave, we know how to kill them.
We know how
so
to
get
them.
Almonds. Money, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'll also give almond them, butter. I'm allergic, oddly, to celery. And like, I am. If I, I'll get like a can of soup and I take one bite and I know there's celery in this because I instantly have an allergic reaction. And it's the instant I have it, the allergic reaction is I kind of feel phlegm in my throat and my eyes are a little bit itchy and that's it. That's all that I could eat the entire can from that point on and my allergic reaction doesn't get any worse than the first bite. But my allergist insisted that I never eat anything with celery ever again in my life because the next time I eat it, it could kill me.
It could kill you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm allergic to penicillin, so I don't like penicillin in my food.
Really?
Yeah.
I became allergic as an adult also. And I blew up on the grapevine one day. It was horrid and scary. And everyone's like, sit on your hands. And I'm like,
sit
on your hands. What's that?
Because I was itchy. I was also swelling.
You broke out
up.
In hives?
Yeah.
I called my aunt. She was a pharmacist. She's all, never take it again.
Yeah.
Never have.
Yeah, I went to the dentist.
You shouldn't eat celery. You shouldn't eat almonds.
Well,
like,
I was
going to
go home and
it
make
again.
Almond celery soup with a nice sprinkling
dressing.
Of penicillin yeah. on the top. That was one of my favorite recipes. I guess I can't bring it to the potluck.
No.
Next
That's
podcast,
like a Romeo and Juliet.
We'll just have a challenge. We'll all eat our allergic thing and just stare
see
at
who
each
dies
other.
First.
I think my reaction.
Whoever itches first loses.
Yeah, my reaction was pretty bad. I'm not taking penicillin.
No, me neither, dude. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm allergic to Demerol. So I had surgery like years ago, and it's not the allergic reaction you think of. I just turn into a mad guy. I was going to use a bad word, but I just get really mean. Like, I was angry, like, yelling at the nurses, and it was extremely painful. Like, when they injected it, I felt it move through my entire circulatory system as a pain, and then I just was mean for 2 hours.
That was me on tequila.
Right.
Nice. I was going to say, your wife probably says it's still affecting you.
Yes.
Right.
Someone's slipping into my toothpaste.
So one thing that I definitely want to ask about is how much of the farmer's market is actually organic and what is that whole process?
So unless someone is certified by an agency that they are organic,
mm-hmm.
they cannot say they're organic or they will get fined and possibly their license revoked.
Even though a lot of them probably are organic, they can't make that claim.
Because you have to pay thousands of dollars. I mean, it's an industry.
Right.
Yeah, they make money.
It makes it's more expensive to say organic than not.
Something I had read or heard from somebody, or I think I saw it online or something, but that there was a lot of organic stuff that says organic that's not really organic. Like, they kind of can work kind of like the all natural flavors type thing. You know, it's not really... It's considered natural, but it's not what you think it is.
I mean, in anything you can lie, but I guess that's the plug for farmers markets is if you come regularly enough, then you're going to meet the farmer and then you're going to have a relationship with the person who's growing your food.
Right. So you'll
know. So you know more than...
Just look them in the
eye.
What
they're using.
Like, are you lying to me right now? And just stare
I mean,
down.
You could ask them specifically, like, what do you use as a pesticide? And they'll be able to tell you. I know with the organic thing, I know it's all about wording. Because if you're certified to be organic on a package, you can only say 100% organic if every single ingredient has been certified 100% organic. And then to just say organic, I believe it has to be 95% certified organic. But you can always say, like, made with organic ingredients. And that just means whatever the hell you want it to mean. You can just have
one organic
thing.
It's a weird word, too. They stole the definition of organic. Like, organic just means that it's simply organic. But we used that and adopted it as that term. Like,
you're going to see new terms coming out in the next. Yeah. I mean, it's already happening. Like, one of the terms that I look for is biodiverse, which means they're doing everything as organic as possible. Like, they're in it for the whole experience of just everything they do has a reason. And it's more than even just sustainable. It's just everything links to everything. It's pretty cool.
Like, the chickens eat the worms and instead of using pesticides, and then they move.
Well,
the kid,
I would consider like Roundup organic. I mean, it comes, I mean, you made it from stuff from the earth. Like, you know, that's where it gets weird for me. But
I think aquaponics is really cool. Have you looked into that at all? Like giant,
I've seen some stuff, but like that seems like a big old mess to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's hard, but the people have figured it out. It's kind of cool. Like they basically have like tilapia or something that they're having a giant tank. All the fish waste
eating gets, the stuff that comes down from the plants.
They'll feed something, and then that their waste goes off. That's and then there's crazy. Like hydroponic floating like panels that have lettuce or something in them.
Sounds
that are
like
growing.
A lot of work.
It does, but I
can't
think
even
it's
do,
like
I can't
once
even
you
do
get
meal
it balanced.
Prep.
You can't what?
I can't even do meal prep yet. Right. I'm trying to prep my food for the next 8 years, like when this cow dies, because that's what I fed it. Hey, are you allergic to Roundup, Brent?
I am. I think everyone's allergic to Roundup,
yeah,
Brad.
Definitely.
I think so, too.
Weeds are allergic to Roundup.
All right.
They are now.
You want to come over for drinks later?
Are you vegetarian or no? Is that a no question?
No, I definitely eat meat, but I'm like at a point really where I'm struggling with where is my meat coming from?
Right.
And currently I'm just trying to figure out where I can source some meat that my family's taking care of and I don't have to ever worry about that again.
Right.
Because I don't know. It just makes me feel yucky.
It's hard, man. Like when you buy ground beef or anything, it is twice the price, if not three times the price, to try to buy organic beef. It's really rough. Yeah.
Honestly,
I don't know if you've watched any documentaries.
Like I've been called some bad names about being a tree hugging hippie and all this, and I'm not any of those things, but I'm conscious about the world I live in and I want to leave it pretty cool for my kids. But like, the cruelty that happens to animals for mass production, you have to take a stand and just say enough. I can't put my dollars to work in that business anymore.
And I think that's a big, I mean, I firmly believe that the way politics works, the way big money lobbyists work, the way everything works, I mean, really the only vote that I think anybody has anymore is with their dollar. That's the only vote anybody cares about. That's the only vote anyone pays attention to. And if you keep buying things that lead to cruelty or suffering or whatever, that's your vote.
A direct result of that inaction is what we have at the farmers market, because we truly put our dollars to work in ourselves and each other before we go put it anywhere else.
Right.
And that's why we continue to grow.
That's awesome. I'm going to go ahead and stop us right there, and we're going to go ahead and take a break and hear some sponsors for Savage Radio.
Yes, indeed.
Pyrenees Cafe, Basque Restaurant, 601 Sumner Street, open daily 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., 323-0053.
Norris Barbershop, Oildale's full-service barbershop, family-oriented, specializing in men and boys haircuts. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Located at 316 Norris Road, 393-5601.
Brian Smog and Automotive, old style automotive repair shop specializing in smog check and repair. Brian Smog and Automotive offers general automotive repair, timing belt replacements, general maintenance and service, as well as electrical diagnostic and related repairs to give customers peace of mind to drive in a fast-paced world. They are located at 615 East 21st Street. The number is 321-0505.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
All right. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast radio edition.
I mean, we say radio edition because the other edition is not radio friendly.
That's right.
So if you don't like what would this be called? A kind of a mild version of us, then check us out online at SofaKingPodcast.com, or you can go to iTunes, look us up, and we are at Sofa King Podcast pretty much everywhere on the interwebs.
On the interwebs.
So, and if don't do it while you're driving though, please.
No, don't do it while you're driving. And we do. And just to clarify, we drop two episodes a week. We do this every Thursday night, right here on Savage Radio. And then every Tuesday morning, we also drop a not safe for work, completely different topic, another one that you download online. So if you like us, then you can listen to both every week.
I think that's the one that I hear my staff listening to on, because there's some bad words on there.
There are many bad words in the other edition. Yeah,
that's PG-13 version's a new thing, so we're trying to be big boys.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So one thing that we were talking about before the break was we were talking about sort of getting to know your farmers, and you can ask them, you know, what's in the food and so forth, and the whole organic issue and all that stuff. And I was looking earlier, and I looked, and there's the Environmental Working Group, which is a nonpartisan nonprofit organization, and they look at everything that could potentially harm us from the environment. And it's everything from pollution to, you know, smog, water stuff, but they also look at food and they look at pesticides. And every year they really, and I always pay attention to it every year, because every year they'll sample something like 3,000 foods and they do chemical tests on it to determine what has the most pesticides for whatever reason this year. So if a certain worm is spreading on this crop, they have to up the pesticide, but every year it's different. So it's never every year. And I'm kind of surprised because I figured the same food would be dirty every year, but they have their dirty dozen. And I wanted to just mention it. And this, to me, this is one of the reasons to go to the farmer's market, because I doubt these foods are going to fall under that category because they're not coming from massive mega farms. Yeah. So the dirty dozen right now, and this is just, you go to a grocery store, you pick these things up from a non-organic spot. These are the dirtiest foods right now, as far as pesticides. And they're even talking about once they wash them, once they peel them, the pesticides are still in the food.
They soak through the skin,
and then they end up being in your bloodstream, so you have the pesticides.
I'm going to throw away a bunch of stuff.
Are these all Monsanto companies?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they made the majority of these chemicals. But the dirty dozen right now is apples. And this is in order of the dirtiest to the
apples.
So number one right now is apples, peaches, and nectarines, strawberries, grapes, celery, which I'm allergic to anyway.
We should have done that as a game and try to guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Spinach, bell peppers, cucumbers, cherry tomatoes.
Pickles.
Imported snap peas. And then potatoes. And they said specifically that 99% of apple samples, 98% of peach samples, and 97% of nectarine samples had pesticide residue once they cleaned it. They said the potato has more pesticides per weight than any produce. The grape and the bell pepper, even though they were lower on the list of how much it stays on it after you clean it, each tested on average of having 15 different pesticides on it once they were picking them up from the grocery store. And then they specifically said, which is not awesome, that the that they had two bonus things. They always do the dirty dozen, but they added hot peppers and kale this year. Specifically said that it doesn't fit the normal categories, but they each had one specific insecticide that's toxic to the human nervous system.
There you go, Brent.
So love
your kale.
So if you get it. So again, their thing is, if you buy any of these products, they even recommend on their website, either buy it from a farmer's market where you know the farmer, or buy it organically, because then it's not going to sort of fall into this list. But you will be happy that the cleanest food was avocados.
Okay. Well, that solidifies a theory I had about people going on juice fast. Like there's a term. Called bioaccumulation, where a big fish eats 10 little fish. Each one of those little fish has one pollutant. Now that fish has 10, and the bigger fish eats 10 of those 10. He's got 100, and the more you move up. So those people are getting like 30 pounds of vegetables and fruit from Albertsons or whatever, throwing it in there, and they're getting pesticides.
Well, and it's the same thing with like hamburger. They feed the cow, and milk. They feed the cows the hormones.
Right.
And we talked about this on the Mega Dairy episode, I think, about the hormones and stuff.
Right.
We're drinking all those hormones. Why do you think we're getting bigger?
Well,
The only people who do that, by the way.
Yeah.
That drink milk or eat dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as like Americans or something?
Yeah.
Or just as a culture, Americans, even in Europe, they don't eat the same kind of cheeses as we do. Like we eat like gluttonous hormone filled.
We eat all the bad stuff.
Well, people are becoming processed. Westernized though, for sure. Yeah. Like Pizza Huts in Baghdad and stuff now. It's really crazy.
Because it tastes better. The fake cheese. On the fast food episode, we talk about McDonald's cheese and how it's not under the FDA because it's not really cheese.
Not really cheese,
so they can leave it out as long as they want.
Yeah.
So slowly but surely, you're going to make me better. I'm still on organic milk and organic cage-free eggs from our last pot. Actually, I quit drinking milk. I buy organic milk for my family. I don't drink milk anymore. I quit.
That's a lie.
No, I swear to God.
Well, I figured out she was talking about where she was going to get her meat. But I think right now I formulated a plan in my head.
Formulated.
I formulated it.
That's not a word.
I formulated the plan, okay?
Tyrone Sugar.
Welcome to the show, Tyrone.
Yo, what's up? Always a pleasure.
So what I'm going to do is I'm gonna befriend some gym rats, and I'm going to figure out which one of them eats the cleanest, and then I'm just going to eat them.
Kill the gym rat and eat him.
Eat what you eat.
It
would last you for a while, I think.
If you have a big enough freezer.
Yeah, you'd need a freezer for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
I know the people who own Rusty's. Oh, should I say?
And for the record, once you start killing and eating people, like when the news comes to us or the FBI will be like, oh no, if I would have pegged anyone as a cannibal, it would have been Brad.
Yeah.
But Especially since we have it on the radio.
I said it, so that means I'm not going to do it.
Right. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, those are the dirtiest foods. I thought that was a really interesting list. But again, like that's one of the reasons I personally like the idea of a farmer's market, because odds are, even if it's an apple farmer, they're not using this mass production mentality to grow their apples or to grow their strawberries. They have a smaller farm.
None of our apples had Listeria when that happened. Neither did our hummus, you know?
Right.
Like, we just don't suffer from those problems. Like. Yeah.
That hummus is another good thing. Yeah. I was hooked
we
on that
actually
for a while.
Have the best hummus in California. Like, I don't know that Bakersfield really understands that, but like, if you were to go to other farmers markets, you would really realize that we have the very best.
It's really good.
It is really good.
I can't remember which one I got. This is going to ruin me again. It's going to be a $90 Sunday. I'm going to go to the farmers market and just come back with everything, peanut butter and hummus. Yeah.
We also now accept, we accept EBT, we accept WIC. We've went through all the training. That's one of the key components at Oildell too, is that we accept EBT. So places like Oildell and Southeast Kern, like they're food deserts. There's not enough grocery stores within walking distance or even any distance for the residents in those areas. So being in Oildell is trying to like close that gap, not only with having fresh fruits and vegetables and things like that, but being able to accept EBT. And then those EBT dollars go right back into our local food population because it feeds seniors. So like,
that's awesome.
For me, I'm like, this is a win-win.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. Cause I think, it's always, eating healthy is always associated with being or having money.
Right.
And we talked about this also about, you could buy way more calories with $20 than you can, you know, good calories. You know, you could buy Hamburger Helper and just stuff that's horrible
that's
for
Manzano.
You.
That's Manzano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can buy all this stuff that's horrible for you, but then if you were to buy healthy stuff, organic stuff, you could buy, you know, a head of lettuce and a bag of potatoes or something, you know, and like that's it because it's so expensive. But, you know, closing that gap, I think is really awesome. And then also providing, you know, giving it back to the community that it's from. You can't get better than that, you know. So if everybody would go out and support, you know, these local farmers markets, I go to the one over off of in Hagen Oaks over there. I've been there a couple times and they're awesome. I mean,
that's
the Kaiser one.
That's one.
So and that's off Ming and Gosford right there.
Yeah, it's Ming and Hagen Oaks across from the Applebee's.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then where's the one in Oildell at exactly?
Oildell, we moved this year to North High School, so.
North High School
Thursday
parking lot.
Is our first day actually being there when school's in. So we'll see what's really going to happen.
That's going to be crazy.
I know.
Hopefully everything runs smooth. And then the other one, where's the other one?
Brimhall and Callaway at the Brimhall Square Shopping Center. We're right in front of Uniquely Chic.
Okay. So if you didn't know, now you know.
That Sunday market's cool too, though. There's just a vibe. Like you walk up and there's like crazy like mint lemonade and all kinds of there's people playing guitar and music and it's a different environment. I mean it's You know, it's not going to the grocery store. Like, there's some common thing between people that are going to a farmer's market that you have something in common. When you're at Vaughn's, it's not like, hey, bro, see you in the produce section, high five. No. When you're at the farmer's market, it's just, I don't know, it's people have an appreciation for what they're doing.
But the people at Vaughn's now come visit us on Sundays at the farmer's market.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, regularly, actually. Because we go over there, you know, to use the restroom, get coffee, and just like early morning before customers ever arrive. And you become friends with people, and that's how things spread, is just those relationships.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool too, because I think part of the thing is like a lot of those vendors can't produce on a scale where they could qualify to do that at a grocery store, you know? Like they have a restaurant or a cafe
or anything like that.
Yeah, it makes it possible for them to do that. And kudos, because I did a garden this year and it's abandoned. It's tough. It this time. It did not happen.
You abandoned it already?
Man, I tried. It's like no bees or something. I should have planted flowers. I think that's what's wrong. I didn't plant any flowers.
Should have stole a box of bees from somewhere.
I guess. I don't know. I had big giant plants, everything, nothing pollinated. I had like three tomatoes.
Beekeeper will drop a box of bees and show you how to keep your own bees.
I'm semi-allergic to bees.
I was going to say he's going to cry allergy. Yeah.
I'm just going to plant wildflowers. I read a bunch of stuff online about orange and yellow flowers and that it's supposed to make a big difference. But
yeah, you're going to get stung and die in your backyard.
I built super cool boxes. I could have bought so many pesticide apples with all that money.
You might have better luck in the winter. Maybe.
Yeah, I haven't tried a winter crop yet. I always do like tomatoes and squash. I've never grown squash. I grow it every time.
It hasn't been a good season this year. I mean, the weather's been nuts.
It was so hot. I would run home. I even made these sub-irrigated boxes so that they would water from underneath the soil, and it still couldn't deal with the heat. And like I'd come home and all like the plants were just sad. I was like, I'm going to just have to like hold a blanket over them and give them shade.
Peppers haven't even come out yet. This season. Like that's just to show like how temperature and climate control and all these things play into crops. Like we haven't even had fresh peppers yet. Like,
well, maybe I should go save them. They're still there if I go out there and water them, but they're stressed.
Yeah.
But yeah, kudos to them doing it, especially to do it organic.
We gotta stop saying kudos.
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 Can we say judos?
You can say judos. I'll say that.
And even I mean part of the term. Because I normally do a decent amount of gardening in the summer. And I have pretty good results normally, but I've, you know, every year when I first started, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to plant tomatoes and peppers and a squash and some strawberries. And it's like, okay, the tomatoes worked. Yeah. And then like the next year I'll plant the tomatoes somewhere else in the yard and then plant eggplants and something else. And it's like, okay, the tomatoes didn't work this time because they're over there and the eggplants. And it's like, so after about 10 years of doing this, I know tomatoes work well if I plant them here. And if I plant them by this time period, I can do eggplants over here. I can do okra here, but not over there. It's like it takes so long to figure all this stuff out, and that's just for like growing five plants at my house. Like I can't even imagine what like the body of knowledge farmers have to have of how to plant, when to plant, what to look for,
and just to rely on nature for it to work out.
Right, exactly, and to rely and even just to, it's like I'm sure if you were an okra farmer, you would look at an okra plant and go, oh, that doesn't look happy, and it's because of this
nitrogen
bug or this in the soil or whatever. And it's like I just kind of go, well, screw it, there goes the okra.
You gotta buy that farmer's almanac.
Google it.
Oh right.
No, the first year that I grew tomatoes, I grew so many I had to give them to my neighbors. Literally just knocking on doors, handing bags of tomatoes to people. I did the same exact thing. I don't understand. It just didn't work. Same soil, same spot.
Like she said, climate and everything goes into that. I was gonna say about the avocados not being on the list or whatever, or the least
the cleanest
pesticide. Yeah, it's because the bugs don't even like the avocados.
You're crazy.
You know what's weird is we're not even really allowed to sell avocados at market. You have to go through like some special paperwork. I don't even remember what it's called. Like no one wants to deal with it. And they're California grown, but
that's weird.
It's like a avocado exemption law. It's some weird
to protect some group of farmers.
I don't know, dude. It's a lot of paperwork.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Those things are worth a dollar. I'm going to just say that because it is so hard. I have a 60-foot avocado tree in my backyard, and there's some stat where like you have to have another avocado tree of the opposite gender pollinating within a 5-mile radius or something. Right. I get 3 avocados. Downtown rats crawl into my tree, chew the top off, drop it on the ground, and my dog eats them. So I will gladly hand over dollars for avocados because I understand.
I didn't assume they were that hard to grow because when I was in grad school, some friends of my sister's let me, I didn't know them at the time. Now they're friends of mine, but at the time I didn't know them, but they let me live in their garage because I was in grad school and I had no money. And my rent was every time I got a financial aid check, I took them to El Torito. So that was the arrangement.
That's
was
awesome.
Well, that would suck now because it's closed down.
Yeah.
It was like Taco Tuesday.
So, but that was only once a quarter I had to take it. So that was my rent to live in their garage, but they had a massive avocado tree. And when the avocados came in, which I want to say was in the winter, I would sit there in the garage and every 2 or 3 minutes I would just hear thump, thump, because the avocados, these ripe, huge avocados, we were giving away grocery. They wouldn't even feed their dogs regular dog food for like a month, and the dogs avocados would become so fat. The dogs would get so fat because it was just no matter how many avocados I was picking up off the ground, there's at the end more of the day, there would be like 13 avocado pits at the front door.
I've seen that happen with the lab. There's like 150 pound lab because it was eating avocados, but his coat was awesome.
And then the avocados go away and they would lose their weight. But it's like, what do you guys want to have for dinner tonight? I don't know. I made some guacamole and
we're having a California burger.
Sick of guacamole right now. So I always thought it was easy because this massive tree was just like taking a crap of avocados constantly for like a month.
It's probably just where it was at.
Yeah.
Probably just did good.
Bread. What I understand is I go to the swap meet and these little Mexican guys have like baby avocado trees with two avocados on it. I think they're super gluing them on there. There's no way. I was like, how does that have avocados on it? It's like 4 foot magic tall. Yeah, well, they're hot gluing fake avocados on there.
I bought a persimmon.
There's just light, you can hit them.
I bought a persimmon tree this winter that I'm planting like down the hill at the back of my house that looked like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree when I bought it. It was just a little stick that was like 2 feet tall. Now it's a stick that's like 3.5 feet tall, and it's got three freaking huge persimmons on it. I'm like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You're just down there in the sun.
Persimmon cookies.
No, these are the
Fuyu.
The Fuyu.
They're like crispy, like an apple.
They're like the best fruit on earth, as far as
I'm concerned. Really good for you. Actually, yeah, it's like delicious. The blueberry of winter.
Huh. Yes, they're so good. So I planted a tree. Yeah,
they're the size of an apple.
They're so delicious.
They're like a squatty little apple.
Yeah,
my grandma had one of those trees that grows those things that look like grapefruits. I can never remember the name of it, but the pomelo. And they didn't want them. They're a pain in the butt. They're full of seeds. The rind is giant. The fruit's the same size as like an orange in the middle of it. But she would take them to church because her church, like the next day, was some type of Asian church, and they would go crazy for those things.
Yeah, they're like in their New Year citrus, mandarins, those pomelos.
Right.
Like they do a whole celebration. It's based around citrus.
To me, it was grapefruit with a bunch of seeds and like a very disappointing core, but
they're like a superfood. It's like it's really good for your lymphatic system, but if you're on cholesterol medicine, you can't eat grapefruits because they're really good for you.
Yeah, grapefruit's a weird thing. It like multiplies the potency of a ton of medications. It's so weird.
That's really strange.
Yeah, you can like die if you
because it cleanses you. Like it's
that's hardcore.
Huh. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know that.
It's great with vodka.
Yeah, that's about my grapefruit experience. I don't like grapefruit.
Try Oro Blancos. They're sweet.
Okay.
That's an name of the fruit, not
a
drink.
It's a grapefruit. It's similar to the pomelo.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a white grapefruit, not as much rind as the pomelo, and it's so good.
When do they come in?
When all the others do. Citrus, like November.
And that's actually one of the things that I actually also like. Even like I was looking at the USDA website and they recommend everyone go to farmers markets like coast to coast. And one of the reasons, and they have this whole list of why you should be shopping at a farmer's market. And one of the reasons is that it's seasonal local food.
It's what your body needs.
It's what your body needs at the time. Like in the summer, your body doesn't need nutrients of things that grew in the winter and vice versa. So that's one of the benefits of a farmer's market is you're eating seasonally and you're eating locally. And you're also eating actual ripened food that has more nutritional quality.
It hasn't been gassed.
Right. Artificially ripened. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Peanut butter grows all year.
That's true.
That's right.
Good. So that's why I was asking when those things come out because I want to try them, but I want to try them when they're actually growing on trees, not when they've been shipped from, Guatemala or something. Yeah.
It's surprising how much people avocados. Don't know about stuff. I have a relative, I won't name any names, but this person actually looked at an orange tree and asked, can we eat those right off the tree? or do they have to be like processed or something? And another relative said, what do you mean? And they were like, well, you know, like, does it have to go like to like a factory or something? Like, does something have to happen to her? Can you just pick it off the tree and eat it? And I was like, this is a grown person. I don't know if like we just all grew up on Taco Bell and McDonald's.
I think,
like, yes,
I think,
you can eat orange. Where do you think it came from?
I think everybody has their own little box that they live in. Cause that's like my ex's brother. We're sitting at Easter dinner and he says, you know, somebody said something about Jesus or they prayed or something. And he says, what does Jesus have to do with Easter?
Oh,
and you know, I died. I mean, and he was like 17 or something like that, you know, and I'm just like, wow.
You
like,
told him that Jesus raised rabbits, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay,
exactly. Explained it to him.
That was when Jesus turned rabbits into marshmallows and chocolate.
I said he went back in time and created the Easter bunny that talks and everything. So,
right.
We'll talk more about the Easter bunny when we come back. A couple words from some sponsors for Savage Radio, KSVG 89.7 FM.
Sandrini's Italian and Basque Restaurant, located at 1918 I Street, offers a diverse selection of Italian and Basque delicacies, beer and whiskeys from around the world, and live music every weekend. For more information about concerts and events, you can follow Sandrini's at facebook.com/Sandrini's Bar or call them at 661-322-8900.
Bonnie's Best Cafe. Freshly made sandwiches, salads, soups, and desserts featuring homestyle casserole dinners to go. Bonnie's Best Cafe has two locations to serve you. 1900 21st Street, open Monday through Friday 9 to 5 for sandwiches and until 6 p.m. for casseroles. 1002 19th Street is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Phone number is 661-323-7224. And the website is bonniesbestcafe.com for their current menus.
Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
All right, so I apologize. I guess Brent was making fun of me because of my sorry exit to the sponsors, but this is our first time doing it kind of with breaks, so... excuse me. I'm sorry, Brent.
Sorry, it was
accept
atrocious.
My apologies, and I won't give you almonds tomorrow. So
you peanut butter not.
Yeah.
Oh, that was there. Horrible.
Butter buddies.
Yeah. There go the butter buddies.
All I can wait for is the picture.
This is our last radio episode.
What time are you sending the
like
picture?
That, jokes like that coming out.
What time's my picture?
So you'll see. You'll see. Okay. I'm gonna send it to Kim first.
Fine.
Go ahead and plug whatever you need to plug. Let everybody know what's going on.
Because you have like a cool new scenario coming up.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
We've been working on it for a while, but we're finally going to have a farmer's market downtown on Saturday nights starting this fall sometime as soon as we work out some logistics.
I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping anybody, we're trying to, more vintage, so like, you know, and when you go to LA to a nice little market, there's like someone selling records or vintage cowboy boots,
right.
We get some food trucks or whatever, maybe some art, some music. If it's at night, maybe Bakersfield musicians will show up. I don't know. Sunday morning's a little early for them.
Right.
It's only like the over 60 sometimes that come out there to play because they can get up by like 9.
Right.
They're up at 4:30.
Yeah.
But, anyway. You know, downtown's my place, so I want to give it the very best farmer's market we can. And
that's really
cool. Is there limitations on the vendors? Is that set up by like the city?
You know what? We're accepting applications. We already have a spot located. We can facilitate quite a few people. I just want to keep it producer only. You got to be making it to be there.
Okay.
I want to keep it. You know,
there was a little bit of First Friday drama there, and that's what I'm wondering. Like, are you going to mirror that? Like, a lot of people got turned off, but like, it sounds like you're being cool about it. So,
I mean,
as long as you're making it, that makes sense. You know,
we
what I mean?
Just do farmers market. We're there.
Right.
We're food based. Art and music kind of go hand in hand, but that's just because when you eat, you like to listen to music and look at things and hang out with the kids. And,
well, it makes the atmosphere
better fun.
Also.
We're kind of behind the times, and it's time that, you know, since we're growing it all and we're actually pretty top notch when it comes to like food crafters and artisan people that are doing great things, like we should be the best. I mean, we're doing all the work and we're making the best fruits and vegetables that everyone else is eating. It's
like
time
in
to,
the nation.
Yeah, yeah. Like we're the best. So we should have the best and it's everyone like else can just kind of follow through.
I always like every time I go to the coast, every time I go to another town, it's like I'll check in at a hotel and they'll be like, oh, and by the way, tonight's the farmer's market. And it's like everybody's excited because it's like this weekend nighttime farmer's market. And I mean, good Lord, go to San Luis Obispo on a Thursday.
It's ridiculous.
It's, I mean, it's not even a farmer's market. It's just a
party.
Streetwide party, you know.
We don't want to do that. But
no, but I mean, that yeah. kind of vibe, like there's just, there's
she's,
people.
She's not promoting
fun.
Mardi Gras.
If right. we can get people to come downtown for something and then go into our local restaurants and go into our local bars right. and get them to frequent the business that's down here, it's better for all of us, yep. you know?
Yeah.
Decor.
It's going to be weekly?
Every Saturday night.
And then what time are we talking? Do you know yet? I know it's not.
Probably like 4 to 8, honestly, because right. I got to get up for Sunday fun day. Right.
And honestly, downtown, the drunk pumpkins come out at 10.
Yeah,
so.
I don't want yeah. to have a bunch yeah. of the security and...
Yeah, I did tacos downtown for a lot of time, and after 8 o'clock's cool. Everyone's cool.
Yeah.
That's normal family. But after 10 o'clock, it's still pretty cool. Midnight, it's not okay.
The freaks come yeah. out yeah. at night.
So, what area do you know? Like what intersections?
It'll
or
be
it
right by me on 19th and G.
So Fox kind of area, right?
Fox yeah. is more 20th. So okay. I think closer to Decor.
Okay,
between cool. me nice. And Decor.
Nice.
I'm excited. It's far enough away from the bars too, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're close to all the family housing that's right there.
Right.
We have Victor's is going in next to Big Poppy's. I think some other restaurant might be going
Victor's
in there.
Victor's, the burrito place?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Chipotle-esque burrito place?
Yes.
I say? Yes.
You know that building they're building next to Big Poppy's?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
their future home.
Oh,
cool. So
I didn't know that. Oh, wow.
I also heard that maybe a Chipotle was coming downtown, but I could be hearing rumors.
Ooh, poor Victor. But Victor's,
I know, right?
They're on par though. Like that place is good. They have crazy stuff.
You get homemade
like
tortillas.
You get a fish burrito there. That's, you know, you can't get that at yeah. Chipotle. Not
was
I don't know what a fish
Mariscos?
Burrito. But.
Right.
No.
No, Victor's is cool.
I'm all just about promoting, you know, local.
Right.
For me, local is what I'm all about. Like
right.
that means I can eat bad sometimes. Go to Dwarves.
You were saying Taco Bell earlier that's pretty healthy.
Yeah. It's healthier Ooh. Than some others, I guess.
Put her on blast.
I just wanted yeah. you to say it so I can eat it because if Jacqueline says Taco Bell's okay and she runs the farmer's market, then yeah.
you know what? We have some fresh tamales out at farmer's market that are probably even better.
Ooh, that's true.
I'm going really this time.
Good. I'm so Our problem hungry. Is, it's like we're talking about food this whole time and I haven't eaten. And
yeah, I'm
like
with you.
Dying.
I brought you peanut butter.
I know. Well, yeah. You know what I want to see is I want you to go out to that event and just carry around a spoon and a jar of peanut butter, like and or like
Wear
two
a short
or three
shirt.
Jars. Yeah, short shirt, like the old school gangsters.
Where are you going with this?
To the farmer's market. I'm gonna eat my peanut butter.
I'm picturing more of like a Lebowski robe, and you're walking around eating the peanut butter
the
in a Lebowski robe. Yeah.
So we want to thank our guest for coming by.
Thank you.
Is there any last shout outs real quick you want to make, or did you talk about everything?
Where can they find you on good? Social media?
At the Hen's Roost, at Brimhall, wherever you like. I mean, I'm all over the place. I just appreciate everyone who's always been so supportive of us, and it takes all the locals to make us local, you know?
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, go out there and visit. Quit watching Netflix. Get off the couch. And go
come
to the farmer's
Thursday.
Market.
Yeah, come Thursday.
Thursday. They're all over town, you know, the farmer's market, so you don't have an excuse that it's too far.
So what time is the Thursday?
It's from 5 to 8. And at the end of the day, all the money collected, we feed 200 seniors locally that are food insecure. So it's a good cause.
And if That's you're awesome. Listening to this on Savage Radio right now, it is Thursday night, and you've still got 2 more hours to get to the farmer's market.
They have a drive up
nice.
Dinner, 40 oh, wow. bucks, it feeds 4 to 6. It's smoked brisket or pulled pork, Ooh. Beans. You got to come get one.
Brent's like, I'm there. Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank Savage Radio KSVG for having us on. And we will see you talk to you guys because we're not going to see you next Thursday at 5. You can tune in or Tuesday. If you can't wait that long, you can go to sofakingpodcast.com and check us out. Anything else, guys? Are we done?
Thank you, Red Ridge Beard Co. Thank you, Digital Creations. Log on Amazon and buy Chama, New Mexico, Dave's novel. And you can also get a free month of Audible and one free book if you go to audibletrial.com/sofakingpodcast.
Yep. And get your read on so you won't be a retard.
All my friends are dead. dead. All my friends are dead.